Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, for most of the decade previous to the time that I arrived here to serve as one of your pastors, I served in a place where my ministry activity involved pretty much on a daily basis interacting with people who knew they were dying. Now that might seem like difficult or challenging or even disheartening work for anyone, especially someone as young as I was at the time, but in my recollections of those encounters, all I can remember is joy, encouragement, a sense of fulfillment in that work. Someone who particularly comes to mind often from those days is a man named Reuben. Reuben was in his 70s, and he survived just a few weeks, really, before his 60th wedding anniversary, a surgery that didn't go so well that ended in his spending a little more than 60 days in a coma in intensive care. Reuben was someone who would openly speak of the fact that before this happened in his life, he didn't take God and his word as seriously as he should. And I could share a whole lot of all the changes that were brought about in the life of Reuben after this because of the word and the Spirit working through the word in his life. But there's one thing in particular that I want to focus you on. Reuben became fascinated, even fixated on heaven in those days after that experience. And he didn't want to just hear fictional accounts and what the world thought about heaven. He only wanted the truth. He only wanted Scripture. And so as I would come to visit with Reuben regularly on a schedule, I would offer him the devotion that I had prepared for all of my other calls and offer him the sacrament, and very consistently he would finish that moment with, "That was wonderful, Pastor, thank you, but now tell me something I don't yet know about heaven." And that was a bit of a challenge because I always knew that that was coming. And so I had to kind of keep track of the things that I had shared with him from the Scriptures because I knew he was also keeping track so that he had those references to turn to when I wasn't around. Reuben was a man who came from a large Christian family, and he and Arlene had 7 children of their own. And it brought Reuben a significant amount of comfort to know that the generations before him and his own children and grandchildren knew the truth, knew the voice of God in his word, knew the saving promises, and relied on them. And there were members of his family from both sides of that equation, his ancestors and his children and grandchildren, who already had gone to glory through Christian death. The goal of a Sunday, such as Saints Triumphant Sunday, is to bring to you the certainty, the encouragement, the comfort, and the hope regarding your loved ones who have died in the Lord and the reunion we all long for. The prophet Isaiah's Old Testament prophecy that is the lesson for the day speaks so vibrantly, so clearly about heaven. The New Jerusalem, as he calls it here. I pray that these words lend towards the same consolation, the same goal of this day, and warm your heart the way they warmed Reuben's. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. It's simply beyond our comprehension, this existence of our everlasting family to which we belong. How do you like the sound, the details of all that God places before you here, where we will live together forever? When you look at it, you'll find nothing dangerous, nothing deadly, nothing painful, not even memories of this broken world and our broken lives. In fact, it tells us that none of that will even come to mind. And God will rejoice over his new Jerusalem, as he calls it here, and the people that dwell there. He will delight in those people, he says. There will be no measurement of time or of age. Every living thing, including the wild animals, will live at peace with every other living thing. And you and I will have direct conversation with God. That might be one of the most fascinating elements of what's here in front of us. Because how often don't we offer God our prayers waiting for a very specific answer, some kind of specific direction? That's what God's people do. And all along the way, we wonder about what's coming and what is our purpose and what will we be able to accomplish. And as those thoughts process through our minds, we don't expect to have absolute clarity. And yet in these verses, it says, while those things are still on our minds and our hearts, as we're expressing them to God, he's already going to be answering them before we can even finish asking the question. We will know. We will have complete fulfillment, complete purpose. And we will know God as we are known. Does that not sound like something anyone and everyone would want? Does that not sound like something everyone and anyone would want for those who they dearly love, that they've invested their lives in? But let's not forget how extremely simple it is for anyone to experience everything that God promises in these verses. It's free. He speaks consistently throughout the scriptures how he will give this existence to everyone as a gift. Everything God speaks here through his prophet 7+ centuries before Jesus arrived on the earth, during his life and his ministry, Jesus fulfilled and paid for every single thing. He was flawless in his obedience to every demand of the laws of God and the laws of humanity that applied to him in his moment he was here on earth. He was perfectly flawless from the moment of his conception till the moment he said, "It is finished," on the cross, weaving together that perfect obedience as a payment price. And while holy and perfect in all things, he willingly walked a path of persecution and punishment that led him to experience every last element of human brokenness and sin, to the point of an innocent voluntary death. All so that anyone and everyone can have every last thing that the Lord calls us to behold in these verses of Isaiah. But let's not also forget the role we are asked to play in making sure that anyone and everyone comes to know about their right to membership in this everlasting family. We are not supposed to keep this news to ourselves. There is room for everyone in God's everlasting family. There are no limitations, not by age, not by gender, not by anything that would divide us as a human family. There are no tests. And the infinite God of infinite mercy and power has promised that there will be as much room as necessary for every last human soul that comes to know and trust and rely on the promises of God for salvation will have a place in His new heaven and new earth. I can't think of a better Sunday to contemplate our personal role, each and every one of us, in evangelism than Saints Triumphant Sunday. Because you and I know amongst the people that we've read from the worship folder who have gone to glory in the last year and all the many other Christians that have graced our lives, there are so many that we thank the Lord for them being the ones who have shared the word with us, right? And every single one of those people already experiencing glory would have stories to tell from centuries and centuries and centuries of God's people sharing God's word, of the pastors and the teachers, but the parents and the grandparents and the Sunday school teachers and the neighbors and the co-workers and the whoever it was that in their lives made sure they were hearing the word, hearing the promises of God, and remained focused on that truth. But that's how God's family grows. If you simply stood on a street corner anywhere in the world and to complete strangers recited everything that God promises in these verses from Isaiah, it is extremely likely that someone listening to you would want to know more. You and I take Scripture lessons like this so often for granted, just take them in stride as they're read Sunday after Sunday. But isn't this one of those lessons that as it's read, you almost want to elbow the person sitting next to you or turn to someone else and say, isn't this amazing? Isn't this incredible? Listen to what God is promising us. It's almost like one of those Capital One commercials where the spokes lady is telling all about the amazing buildup of air miles in some inappropriate place to where whoever is listening finally bursts out, that's a lot of miles. When you listen to Scripture like this, doesn't it ever touch you in that way that you think to yourself, we should at least be applauding now, if not offering a cheer of praise, making sure everybody else in the room, do you realize what this is saying? How important and powerful this simple truth of Scripture is, that you and I have a place in an everlasting family. But that's exactly it. God invites us to gather as His people to hear His promises. And God always wants us to have the promises of heaven in particular at the tips of our minds in everything we deal with. He intends it to be a perspective shaper for all the ugly stuff that we must wade through in the here and now. How many times in the Scriptures doesn't God remind us that the glory that will be revealed in us and to us in eternity just absolutely blows away all the gory that we have to deal with day by day in our existence here? The glory of those who have gone ahead of us to heaven as the saints triumphant, as they're now experiencing, should be a source of encouragement, of hope, rejoicing and comfort, even expectation from every single one of us as we await that moment when God fully reveals to us personally the reality that He has promised to us in this text. So it's not just one Sunday of the church year that we focus on this, but it's Sunday after Sunday as we gather around God's Word. It's Tuesday evening and Wednesday evening and Thursday morning and Saturday morning as we gather for all the many Bible studies that are offered here, either weekly or monthly, as options to focus on the Word. Every single day that you and I open the Word also for personal meditation, for devotion, for confession and forgiveness, for praise and comfort, for reflection. Our Savior God is saying to us every time we encounter Him in His Word, welcome home. Welcome to your everlasting family. You belong here. Let that reality, that this everlasting family is your family too, wash over you, your heart, your eyes, your mind, giving you hope every single day. And let those promises and all the other eternal promises of God that He offers you here in His Word, until He returns, take you by the hand and lead you to realize the amazing future that He hasn't just promised you, but provided for you and made certain in His living and dying and rising as the guarantee of everything your God has asked you to behold here through His prophet Isaiah on this Saints' Triumphant Sunday. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.